Father God, we thank you for the word, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit being our teacher as always, being our revelator, being our the one who gives us knowledge and understanding. Holy Spirit, we open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what you would teach us today. Fill our spirits with the word of God. Illuminate our minds and our understanding. Guide our paths in the path of righteousness as we study the subject of prayer. Give us divine revelation from heaven. In Jesus' name, all in agreement with that prayer, say
amen.
Amen. Well, today we're starting a series entitled Praying with Power. If you can pray with power, you can kind of pray without power. A lot of times we don't get results is related to not praying with power, not praying with understanding. Now, all of us at some time probably have wondered, you know, why don't my prayers always get answered? I'm asking God for things, I'm praying for things, but why aren't I getting results? And we just go on and we hold on and we pray harder and we do all that stuff that we were told in the traditional church. Just hold on, brother. Just pray harder. We don't know what that means. You know, was I praying soft? Was I praying mediocre? What was I praying? Well, you know, just pray harder. I mean, hold on. Hold on to what? How long should I hold on? I mean, do I grip it tight or loosely? We say all kinds of stuff that means nothing. And the question is, when we aren't getting what the Word of God says, we need to ask why. You need to pray with power. And there's certain attributes and things that you do and elements of prayer that will make your prayer effective, effectual. It'll make it powerful. It'll make it get answers. Let's look at our text for the series in Hebrews 4:16. Praying with power. Hebrews 4:16 is our text. And it reads, let us therefore come boldly. Say boldly.
Boldly.
Say it again.
Boldly.
Say it boldly. We come boldly. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace for the purpose or that we may obtain mercy and that we might find grace to help us in times of need. Most prayers people pray are prayers of petition. There's different types of prayer. There's different manners of prayer. But most people are praying the prayer of petition. Lord, I need. Lord, help me. Lord, supply. So when you're praying that type of prayer, you got to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace so you can get your help in your time of need. In the Good News translation, that says, let us have confidence. Same verse, Hebrews 4:16 in the Good News translation. Let us have confidence then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. That's what we want from prayer. Lord, I'm not asking because I don't need an answer. I'm asking because I need an answer, Lord. I need to know how to get my prayers answered, Father. I need help. And God says you'll get help if you come boldly and if you have confidence. Now, what we understand about that is boldness and confidence are the two preeminent, overwhelming, primary attributes required to receive answer from prayer. Boldness and confidence. This whole series is explaining powerful things you can do that would make you more bold and more confident. God doesn't answer prayer when people are like, Lord, if you could see your way, if you got an extra dime this month in the budget in heaven, if you could just help me out with 50 cents, Lord, I'll be all right. God, just help me, Lord. I mean, what kind of faith are you showing? That's not faith at all. God, you know, if it's not too much trouble, Lord, you could help my sister over here. And Lord, you can take mine and give it to her because I know you're broken, poor, and don't have enough to bless both of us. But God, if you help her. People pray to God and stuff. God, put the sickness on me, not on her, Lord. Like he can't heal both of you. No kind of boldness. No, who is your God? Is God this itty bitty little fellow who's only got so much? He's not El Shaddai, the God that has all supply. He's not Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God to provide. He's a God that's got just enough and you trying to be all humble. People pray like that. We were taught in the church I grew up in that was an accepted way to pray. Father God, I want you, oh God, take that disease off of them. And Lord, put it on me, not on my child, God. Put it on me. God's like, do you think I can't heal both of you? Your faith obviously isn't there. Is that a bold way to come to God? God, I know you're able to do all of it, Lord. And this thing, let's just call it done. Here's your word. Here's the scripture on it, God. Come bold. Oh, God hears me. It's going to get answered. Come with confidence. You have to understand the principles we're talking about are all going to be on the elements of boldness and confidence. If you come to God in a mealy-mouthed, low-faith way, you're not going to receive because know this, that the man that doubts, he received nothing from God. All the promises of God are yes, you can have them. And amen. So let it be, except you come in doubt, because then let that man know who doubts. He's like a wave on the wind. It comes and it goes. You receive nothing. And so many people don't understand, if you're not bold and confident, you lack faith. Well, you know, I don't know if, you know, it's like, you know, I'll go visit mama and, you know, she got some fried chicken in the refrigerator. I don't know if I should go in there. And, you know, if I'm at my mother-in-law's house, I don't just go up in her kitchen. But my house, my mother's house, I just go up there. Who ate that pig? I'm saving that for tomorrow. Oh, my, I ate that. I don't know. Just bold. You know, you just, that's it. That's mama. That's it. There's a confidence. There's a relationship. There's an assurance. And mama don't mind me. Even if you didn't, she don't mind. It ain't that big a deal. Mama, I was saving that for me. But, hey, you're going ahead, boy. You know mama. You got relationship. You got confidence. You got boldly. But God, your Father, oh, Lord, if you could just see your way. Oh, Father, if it's not too much trouble. God is me, your lowly servant sinner. Don't want to bother you much, Lord, but if you got time. My mother, if I went to my mother like that, Mama, I know that the chickens cost a lot of money now, Mama. And I know that you're going to catch one in the field and pluck it, Mama. But if you could see your way, Mama, if I could. I hate to ask you this, Mama, but, you know, if you're able, Mama, I know you and Daddy, y'all got money, but, you know, chicken. Boy, what you trying to say? What's wrong with you? My mother would think I was crazy if I'm talking to her like that. But we go to God because we were taught religions, that's it. And what are we lacking? Faith. We're lacking faith and confidence that God wants to bless us, that God wants to do good for us. I don't know if God's able. I don't know. God doesn't want to help. He may not like me. I'm not perfect. Lack of faith, you will receive nothing. So sometimes we're praying and asking and we're not receiving because, again, we're not coming boldly and confidently. Come boldly to the throne of grace and receive grace to help you in your time of need. God, if you could heal my body and just do this. And we'll talk about that. Are we asking God to heal us, or has God already healed us? And we need to just get in faith and believe that by his stripes we are healed. Because it shows a lack of faith to ask somebody for something they've already given you. We'll get into that, because some people don't receive answers like that because they pray amiss. They pray incorrectly. They pray asking for something they already have. They just need to get in faith and believe. They need to build their faith by reading and studying the word and things about the word till their faith gets big enough that they receive it. We'll talk about that. There's reasons people don't receive answer prayer, and they always go back to they're not bold and they're not confident. And you have to come boldly, and you have to come confidently to the throne of grace if you want help. There's times when I prayed and, you know, you kind of forget about what you're supposed to be doing and you kind of just throw it out there. You don't care if it comes, but you hope it comes. You throw it out there. I never get anything like that. But when I determine it's the word of God and I study it, I read it, I know it's the word, and I come bold and I stay bold with my confession, not bless, highly favored, empowered to prosper. But I stay bold and I stay confident in my confession. I always receive. Other things included, knowing it's the will of God and all those things. But when I meet the requirements to get my prayers answered, to make sure my God hears me, and I can be bold and confident because I know I'm coming to him and approaching him in the right way, I always get my prayers answered. It's been a long time since I hadn't had a prayer answered. I don't even remember. But I also pray the word, and I pray according to wisdom. I don't pray nonsense. God, I pray that you have that model leave her husband and marry me. I wouldn't pray nothing like that. There's no word for that. That's crazy. God, I pray that you give me $50 million so I can buy a Lamborghini and a Maserati and take the poor kids to church on Sunday. I know not to pray nothing like that. See what I'm saying? And we'll talk about that too. You pray to heap things up upon your own lust. There's reasons prayer didn't answer, because God always answers a righteous prayer. The prayers of a righteous man always avail much. Righteous man or woman, gender neutral. The prayers of the righteous always avail. Always. Without fail. So when our prayers are falling, we do need to ask the question. And I guarantee you it has something to do with what we're doing or not doing that's affecting our boldness and our confidence when we approach the Father. And we've got to have that boldness. Got to. Must have. Imperative necessity. You must come boldly to the throne. You must come confidently knowing. I already know he's going to answer it before I come. I'm not going there asking him for something. I don't know if it's his will or he's going to answer it. This is important, because all kind of people just pray, forget. And every time you pray and don't get answered prayer, it's weakening your faith. That's why I said, till you're sure you're going to receive it, don't pray it, because that failure is going to weaken your faith. And so many people's faith is so weak when it comes to prayer now. Whole denominations, the pastors got weak faith. That literally they just say, well, if it's God's will, they throw that in there because they don't have any faith. Well, if you're asking if it's God's will, maybe you should have asked that before you prayed it. Instead of just throwing stuff out there, being spiritually lazy, then saying, just tack on in if it's God's will. But all of these things have to do with the approach. When I come to the throne of grace to receive grace to help me in my time or times of need, how am I approaching God? It better be through boldness and confidence. And you can build that, and you'll naturally have that if you do these things we're going to talk about. Boldness and confidence are the preeminent attributes required to receive answered prayer. I'd write that down if I was you, because I might want to need to remember that. Boldness and confidence. How are you coming? If you're not coming boldly, you're not coming confidently, God might say, don't step to me like that because I don't even hear you. Your prayers literally are not getting above the ceiling because I don't hear people begging, because that's a shame of God. Well, that would be a shame of my mother's love for me if I come to her begging for stuff. She's my mother. I know she wants to help me, and she's going to give me help. It may not be exactly what I said, but whatever she does is going to be what helps me because she loves me. It's showing low confidence in God. God, can you barely do it? God, I know it's tough for you. I know it's hard. He's the all-sufficient one. And we come asking like it's a problem for him to bless his children, to take care of his children, or it's a struggle and a strain for somebody who's the allness of the muchness to help us. And that disrespect that sometimes we approach him, that lack of faith that he's able or willing to do good things for us, hinders us because we're like, God, I know you're not all that, but if you can, it isn't too hard. God's looking like, you know, you have little faith. Did I not send my son? And you heard him say a multitude of times, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He didn't even say his power made him whole. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole, blind Bartimaeus. Thy faith hath made thee whole, one with the issue of blood. Thy faith, thy faith, thy faith. And yet you come to me without faith, knowing that without faith it's impossible to please me. And God rewards those to please him. It's very important how we approach the Lord in prayer. You must be bold. You must be confident. Let's look at these elements. Let's examine the first point of this series. Now, these are very important because you need to learn these. You need to get these into your heart. You need to exercise these. And as you build them up cumulatively, you will always get your prayers answered. So it's a very important series if you don't want to go through the rest of your life with a crapshoot in prayer. Maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't, but always receive it. So let's turn with me to Proverbs 4, 23 through 24. And our first point we'll cover today, just the first point only, is the power of a clean heart. Praying with power. Praying to get results. Boldness and confidence. If you don't have a clean heart, you can't be confident. I've had that happen before, particularly years ago when I was just starting to learn the word. My guilt would bother me. Father God, you know, I got this bill and I don't have the money to pay it. And God, could you bless me with the money? And I'm knowing I'm not even worthy of God even looking at me because I just sinned yesterday, the day before, just sinning, just doing whatever I want to do, but all of a sudden the need come up and I want to run to God and I don't have a clear conscience. I don't have a clean heart. I feel unworthy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's real. I mean, I knew I didn't feel right asking God. And see, that's the problem with people coming up with that mentality of, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm not worthy to tie his shoelace. That's guilt. You got to be able to come. I'm the righteous God in Christ Jesus. I have no outstanding sin. My heart does not condemn me. I have faith towards God. I can come boldly to the throne with confidence. You can't do that when you know you're a rank sinner and ain't trying to do right. We're not talking about missing and slip. We're talking about you a sinner. You practice sin as a lifestyle. You just go to church. When you know that's you, you're going to have a hard time coming to God because his goodness is going to bother you. That's why people start off with that, Lord, I know I don't deserve it. You don't hear Jesus, Paul, Peter, nobody praying that, Lord, I don't deserve it. When they came and spoke, they spoke boldly and confidently. Because one thing they had was a clean heart. Paul said, I don't count myself to have changed, but this one thing I do, I'm pressing. So we ain't talking about you perfect yet, but we're talking about you know and you're sure you're right with God, you're pressing. He didn't say I'd attained yet, so we ain't talking about the state of perfection. We're talking about perfect in your heart. Perfect in your pressing, Not like you know the Lord's been talking to you and you know you're telling the Lord again. I don't think so, Lord. Because you have a hard time approaching the throne of grace when you're like, I don't even deserve to be here. I'm like, every time God tells me something, I do the opposite. That's going to affect your confidence because your heart is hindered. Approach the Lord with a clean heart. It says, King David understood this. In Psalms 51:10, he said, create in me a clean heart. Old Testament man didn't have the Holy Ghost, was not renewed or born again. We don't have to pray, create a clean heart. We created ourselves by washing our heart with the word of God. David knew that because what he say in Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So David hid the word in his heart so he wouldn't sin, so he wouldn't have sin in his heart. I wonder if that went along with a clean heart, a heart that's not full of sin, a heart that's not full of rebellion, a heart that's open and soft to the things of God, a heart that says, Lord, yes, here I am, Lord, use me. A heart that's obedient. When David was found by the Lord and he was brought up to be the king and he's fighting Goliath and all that, he said, this is a man after my own heart. He says, I will take Saul down and I will elevate David because David is a man after my own heart and he will obey my statutes. David got promoted because his heart was to do the will of the Father. His heart was to please God. His heart was pure, the Bible says. And in New Testament, his heart was clean. He had no outstanding sin. He did not want to do wrong. He did not want to disobey. He had a burning desire to please God. He was thirsty for righteousness. He was not struggling with his flesh to live right. He had flesh. He just told it no. He had dominance over his flesh in those areas to a degree, as much as you could have been an unborn again, unsaved man. But his heart was right. Paul wasn't perfect. He hadn't attained, but Paul's heart was right. Paul was pressing. More like God today than last week. More like God today than last year. Not the same in God day after day, week after week. How's that going to happen? You got to be feeding your spirit each day for your spirit to be getting stronger. Well, you know, I go to work 5 days a week. I feed myself 3 or 4 times a day, 7 days a week, 365 and the 1/4 day. But as far as feed my spirit, once a week, maybe a cold snack. I skip church and maybe I listen to one scripture or something like that. Going to be a problem. Your heart will reveal you. Your heart will tell on you. And your heart will condemn you when you approach God if you know within yourself your heart is not towards him. It's very hard asking somebody something when you've made that person your enemy. God's not my friend. He's talking about do this and give this and give that and sow this and sow that and love people and be nice, be kind. I don't want to do that. God is hard. Going to church is hard. Serving God is hard. When you make God your enemy, then you got to go ask your enemy for money. You got to go ask your enemy for something. That's hard. That's like eating crow, you know. That's hard. But God shouldn't be your enemy. God should be your friend. Oh, the friend we have in Jesus. All our sins to him we bear. Jesus is your friend. God the Father is your friend. That's like, mama, mama, can I have this to go do so-and-so? Daddy, can I have this? Dad, will you buy me one of these? It's not something you're afraid of. Relationship. What is your relationship with God? What is your relationship of your heart with God? Don't let your heart get you in trouble because you're not keeping it clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Because I want to be able to always approach you, God. I want you to always answer my prayer. I want to always be in fellowship with you. And sin separates me from you, God. So I want a right heart. I want a clean heart. I want a pure heart. And you know what? To help my heart stay clear, I wash it with the word. In the New Testament, they talk about they were washed with the word. Husbands, wash your wives with the word. Husbands, men, women, be washed by the word. I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee, because I was protecting my heart. I was keeping my heart. I was guarding my heart. David had his prayers consistently answered by God because he understood the importance of maintaining a clean heart. And he washed that heart with the word of God. Turn with me to Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it, your heart, are the issues of life. Now, it's interesting when you look in Proverbs, you start to find the words, because the words have a deeper meaning than they appear sometimes because they're in our archaic language. But that word keep in the Hebrew means to maintain in safety from injury, from harm or danger, literally to protect. So keep means to protect. We know that one. We know that keep means to protect or keep from danger. It means to protect. That word heart is difficult because that word heart is actually your conscience or your soul. The inner part in which you decide. When I looked in the dictionary, it said there, the heart is the locus of a person's thoughts, their minds, their volition, which is their will, their emotions, mind, will, emotions, the soul, and knowledge from right from wrong, or their conscience. So literally, that word heart there is not the blood pump, it's not the spirit of man, it's the essence of your understanding, your mind, your conscience, your soul, your mind, your will, emotions. So I need to keep my mind, my will, emotions. I need to keep my conscience pure. I need to keep my soul right before God. I need to keep my heart pure, my thoughts pure, my will pure, my emotions pure. Oh, my emotions out of control. I want to have sex with somebody I'm not married to. I feel. Oh, yeah, I want to do that. My will is to do that. Oh, man, I don't think it's going to be that bad because we got a ring on. Your mind's all messed up. If your mind, your will, and your emotions, if your conscience is seared, you'll not have faith towards God. If your conscience is seared because all the evil you programmed your mind with, or you've allowed your mind to be programmed with by television programming, radio programming, and the wrong type of programming, if you've allowed that to happen, your conscience is going to create a problem. You didn't keep it. You didn't keep it and protect it from that. If I keep watching all this mess, my homosexuality is normal. If it's just a lie, you can get faith from that because faith comes by hearing. So you turn that mess off. You rebel against it. People tell you that nonsense. You say, no, you're lying. That's wrong. God already said I made him. Made him male, made him female. Your conscience knows right from wrong. Because if you try and approach God and your heart is not right, your conscience is going to tell on you. Your conscience, well, you know, I want to ask God, but, you know, it's like, I don't know if it's going to happen because of what I did. My conscience is bothering me. Because I don't even want to go ask God because, you know, I made him my enemy and now I got to go ask him to help me out. He told me I should manage my money better. He told me I should eat better. Oh, it's hindering me going to believe for healing. It's hindering me going to ask for financial blessing because the Holy Spirit told me don't go buy that big house. Don't go buy that expensive car. Don't go buy that expensive coat or dress or whatever. Holy Spirit told me that and I just went right on through it anyway. And now that I've done it, I know I went through it. I knew it was him then, but I kind of put it in the back of my head. My conscience is bothering me. My heart is not clean. And if you don't have a clean heart, it hinders your approaching boldly and confidently. And you need to have a free heart. And you can have a free heart. There's not enough devils in this earth to stop you from having a free heart. But it's up to you to keep your heart free by keeping thy heart with all diligence. That word diligence means a guard, and they literally mean a person on guard. Who do you think the person should be on guard to keep your heart and to protect your conscience? You're the person. When you look in the mirror, that's the person responsible for keeping your heart. There are other people working with the devil who would love to sear your heart, to sear your conscience, to mess you up. They would love to do that. That's their goal. They work for the devil. But yet the Father in heaven is saying, meditate my word. Think on things that are good, lovely, and pure. Renew your mind to the word of God. He's always telling us to do the things that will protect our conscience so that the devil can't get to us with all that negativity. You see something that's bad, speak out against it. Don't sit there and go along with it. Speak out against it. Definitely don't participate in it. People are talking about all that nonsense and they're asking your opinion. I think it's wrong. I think it's sin. That's going to hurt their feelings. So you didn't say it to hurt their feelings. You just said it to tell them the truth. You said it in love. I think that's wrong. Didn't say me. Yes, it is going to hurt their feelings because light, darkness has a problem with light. It has a tendency to run it out. And darkness, it didn't want to run out. Jesus came and they crucified him. They wanted to get him off the planet. Get him off the planet. They were like, well, we could do this. No, we need a more permanent solution. The Pharisees and Sadducees said, we need a more permanent solution. We need to crucify him. We need him dead. We need to get him off the scene. We need to move him out of the place. We can't just put him down, we got to get rid of him. Because Jesus, his light, he came into his own, they knew him not. And he said, I came as the light, but because of their darkness, they received not the light because they love their darkness more than they love light. That's the same world today. They do love their darkness more than they love the light of God that you bring. So you can't say anything to them without offending them. So you're not worried about offending them. You just worried about, did I speak it in love? And you say it anyway. So you got to stop worrying about offending people because your light is going to offend their darkness. They persecuted him. They're going to persecute you. They still love their darkness, but it's still up to you to be the light of the world and to shine it brightly, unashamedly, confidently and boldly. And that same confidence and boldness that you have knowing you're right in the word is the same confidence and boldness that benefits you when you approach the Lord in prayer. It's the same boldness and confidence. When you go to God, you got to be bold, but not if your heart condemns you. It says keep, to maintain, to protect. Heart, your conscience. Diligence, you be the person who guards it. A person who keeps watch or guard over something or someone. And then issues is the starting point. Issues are not just the things come out of your life, but this is where things start that's going to come out of your life. This is the wellspring of your life. This is the place where something begins, where it springs into being. So if you look in the next slide there, it's important to keep your heart, and to paraphrase that would be protect your heart. Protect your conscience, guarding it consistently. How often do you have to guard it? Well, you let down on Sunday and Monday, but then you guard it on Tuesday and Wednesday, and you let down Thursday, Friday. You're to guard your heart consistently. If you've got something of value, you don't take the guard off of it. You keep the guard on it. So when that TV comes on and someone on there, guard your heart. Turn away from that. If you're hanging around people and they won't stop talking filth, stop hanging around them. Guard your heart. If your mind is going someplace, grab the word and renew it. Pull every vain thought and imagination that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Pull it down into captivity to the word of God. At least a stronghold build up in your mind. And next thing you know, you got faith for something you didn't want to have faith for. And if you stick with the word and your heart is pure, your prayers will be answered. Whether your lies are closing up the sky for 3 years, or whether you're somebody else believing for a need to be met, your prayers will be answered because there's power in prayer, because part of that power is you having a clean heart. Protect your heart. Guard it consistently because it determines the course of your life. Is this course, this pathway more into heaven or hell? Your heart will determine that. That's why you must protect the heart. Fill your heart with the word of God. Meditate it day and night. Tie the word in your heart so you may not sin. Keep your heart clean before the Lord. A clean heart is vital to receive an answer to prayer. Let's look at 1 John 3:21. 1 John 3:21. Simple verse. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not. Say condemn us not. If your heart doesn't get your heart, not somebody else's heart, not somebody else's words, not your friend, not your enemy. If your heart condemns you not, then have we confidence towards God? I need to have boldness and confidence. How do I have that if my heart's not condemning me? How does my heart condemn me? When I know I don't serve the Lord repeatedly, again and again. I know I'm not faithful to the things of God. I know I don't care that much about God. I'll do it long as it's not that much work, but as soon as it costs me something, walk in the light of the revelation you have or your heart will condemn you. What do you know you should do that you've just been refusing to do? That's what's hindering your confidence when you go before the Lord, because you feel unworthy. And you feel unworthy because you know, as good as God's been to you, you know that you may not have yielded. And don't jump way over to perfection, because we're not talking about perfection. Paul had no problem going to the Father, but Paul wasn't perfect. He counted himself not to attain. Don't try and jump over there and pretend, well, no, I is perfect. We ain't talking about that. We talk about a perfect heart. Not talk about perfect in your actions, because you're growing and developing, you're renewing your mind. But you know whether you're serious about God or not. You know whether God is a weekend habit or whether he's a lifestyle. You know whether being a Christian is a place you visit on Sunday and Wednesday or whether you're a Christian all the time, Christ-like all the time, striving. Christ-like when you're in the middle of a dark world, you still shine anyway. You don't take your light and hide under a bushel, but you shine it brightly and put it on a hill that all men might see. You lift Christ up that you might draw people to him. Scary thing is when you lift him up, you draw persecution too. But the persecution comes along with the righteousness. They persecuted him, they will persecute you. And if you fear the persecution, then if you deny me before me, and Jesus said, I would deny you before my Father standing at that gate when you're trying to get in. Yeah, but Jesus, don't you remember? Jesus, remember? I remember you denying me. And I told you, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. You might have been lying, but I wasn't. Jesus is not a man that he should lie. If he tells you he will deny you and me before the Father, if we deny him before men, you better take a note, highlight it in yellow, put an asterisk by it and underline it and put it on the tablet of your heart. Because you need to remember, he told you, he told me, if you won't stand up for me before men, I will not stand up for my Father. And you need me to stand up in my righteousness so you can get in. You need me to wash you with my blood continually. But if you crucify me alive daily and you prefer to serve men than God, you're nothing like me. You're nothing like Paul. You're nothing like examples. And as Christians, we need to put together what we have to be like. We have to be like him. Stop trying to love the world. Paul said when they said they're going to beat him again if he go out and preach in that name, he looked at them straight. He didn't say, okay, I won't do it anymore. He didn't lie to them. He just looked at them and said, ought we to obey men or ought we to obey God? And he went right back out there preaching. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. And we need confidence and boldness to come to the throne. So if our heart condemns us, we can't be confident that God's going to answer us, that God's going to hear us, that God even cares. We can't even confidently approach him because we feel guilty. And that doesn't go away when your heart is condemning you. Your heart still has an essence of righteousness in it. That's why it tells you, you need to live right. And when we violate our own heart, we can't have faith because we keep feeling unworthy. And it's hard to be bold if you feel unworthy. I know I'm not perfect, but I don't have any problem going to the throne of God because I know I'm doing the best I can do. And I can come boldly and ask and without any fear, well, God's not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Hey, I looked in the word. I know it's the word. And I go in boldly. Person with a clean heart has confidence to approach the throne of grace. Turn with me to 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. Look at what it says. We're talking about confidence, and we just learned that if your heart does not condemn you, you can have confidence to God. Here they are, the prayer petition, talking about prayer. This is the confidence. Here's what that confidence is that we're talking about in the last verse. The last verse said in our 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. So they were telling you a couple of chapters earlier about the confidence, the boldness, the confidence. This is the confidence. This is the boldness right here. This is where it comes from. This is the confidence that we have in God. If we ask anything according to his will, say according to his will, it's very important. According to his will. Three things. The confidence is if we ask according to his will, he hears us. If I'm asking nonsense, I can't know that God hears me. This is the confidence we have that if we ask anything according to his will, that implies I need to know what his will is for I ask, isn't it? How are you going to ask in faith when faith begins when the word or the will of God is known? You can't be asking in faith if you don't find out what the will is first. So that lazy praying, oh, I just want something, let me ask for it. You better find out if something God will give you. Otherwise, you can't ask with confidence because your confidence is that you're praying and asking according to his will, and he hears me. And if we know, how many people know that didn't say, and if we believe? Two different things. Know is you know that you know that you know. Believe is I think it's going to be there. I don't know it. I just believe it. And that wrong belief. You get saved by belief. But they who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. There's a big difference in what we receive in our experience with God when we know God is real and when we know his word versus I don't know that's true, but I heard a pastor say and I believe the pastor wouldn't lie to me. So I believe that's true. That's different from knowing it. Knowing it comes from studying, meditating, hiding in your heart till you know. I mean, you'd have to work hard to doubt it. That's when you know it. Other than that, you're like, I don't know if it's true, but I'm going to choose to believe it. It's not what we're talking about. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I know whenever I pray God's will, he hears it, because he said, I hear those who pray my will. So I know he hears me. I don't have to doubt whether they heard me. I felt like my prayers, people be passing. I didn't feel like my prayers, God's, I didn't feel like my prayers are going above the ceiling. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel. But obviously that feeling is a condemnation or an uncertainty about whether it's going up. You shouldn't feel that. Shouldn't be moved by feelings anyway, but you should know this is the confidence. I'm confident he heard my prayer because I prayed his will. And he always hears his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, then we know that we have. I'm praying his word, so I know he hears. Because I know he hears, I know I have. Because why would he deny me his will when it's his will for me to be healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet? It's his will for me to be blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed the storehouse. It's his will that I have peace that surpasses all understanding. It's his will that all the blessings of Christ are yea and amen in my life. It's his will that my marriage be sweet and beautiful. It's his will that my kids grow up and be blessed to the day all the Lord's never be found begging. His will, his will, his will, his will. Faith begins with the will of the word. Word of God is known, not just believed, but known. I know that's the word of God. I read it. I saw it. I heard the preacher say it. I believe it's there, but I never looked myself. Oh, I looked. I know that's the word of God. It's right there in 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15, that this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, if I know it's his will, I know he hears me. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask of him, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. There's a certain boldness you have when you already know he wants to give it to you. You already know God's will before you go pray. There's a certain boldness you have. I know God wants me healed. I know God wants me blessed. I know God wants me to have this transportation if that's something that he said to me. Now, you can't, let's look in scripture. Your transportation may be your bicycle. You know, because a car is not a need. I know most of y'all think a car is a need. A car is not a need. It's a luxury. A bicycle is not a need. Feet are a need. I might need to walk somewhere. But all that other stuff is extra. So let's get needs and wants separated. But basically, if you ask God for a car and you know that God say, hey, I'm going to bless that in you. You've been faithful. I'm giving that to you. You got a word from the Lord. You know it's his will. And you, or God told you, hey, you're going to start a church and so forth. Well, God said we're going to start a church. So I know it's going to be a church. So let's go start a church. Where are we going? Going to West Palm Beach, start a church. Well, why are you going to start a church? God said go to West Palm Beach, start. Well, how do you know the church going to be there? Because God said go start a church. It's going to be there. We're going to start it. It's the will of God. I don't have a question about that. God said, go start the church. We're going to start the church. How do you know it's going to work? God said, start the church. God wouldn't send us to start something. I have the will of God on that, so I can boldly buy my ticket and fly here or get my car and drive here, pack my family up in my household and move here. I can do that boldly because I know it's his will. My heart's not condemning me because I don't have any question about it. I know it's his will. I know that I know that I know it's God's will. And when you know before you do it, it's so much easier to do it confidently, boldly, and then get an answer to that prayer. God, you said that. Okay, Lord, you said you want me to go to West Palm Beach, start a church, and we teach the word of God in a way it can be easy understood. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to West Palm Beach. Well, when we're going to go, okay, Lord, like, okay, now it's time to go. You've been here this long. It's time to go. Okay, Lord, I'm hearing your word there. Okay, Lord, we got to get everything together. Okay, I got to go get the U-Haul. I got to pack up the thing. Got to sell some of the stuff, give away some of the stuff. Got to get down to where it fits in the truck. Got two cars we got to get here. Got to drive out a month before, drop that one off, go back, hook them up to U-Haul, drive there. We got to do all this stuff. But we're doing it all in faith because we got a word from God. Okay, God, you said all that. Now I'm going to pray a prayer. Different types of prayer. I'm going to pray the prayer of consecration and dedication. That prayer you can say if it be thy will, because you may not know. Let's say, for example, if that's not what I pray, because I already knew the will. But let's say, for example, if you have a heart to go in ministry, you know God called you ministry. Because at one point I knew the Lord called me to ministry, but when he called me, he didn't say it was the pastor. He said, you've been faithful and just in your service to me. I'm calling you to minister my word. And then he went on and said some things I keep private. But I said, God called me to ministry. Then about a week later, I start wondering, as what? Pastor, evangelist, prophet, teacher? What would he call me for? And I start thinking about it. I didn't know. He said, these things be revealed in time. So I just went on, and later he revealed it to me. But I didn't know. So I prayed a prayer. I said, Father God, I believe you called me to ministry. I know your word and what you said to me. I commit myself to do whatever you want. If you want to send me a missionary in Africa or Borneo or wherever, I'll be a missionary. Lord, if you want me to be an apostle, whatever you want to be, Lord. So I was talking to God saying, I commit myself to what you said. I will go to Africa if it be your will. I'll go to the jungles of the Amazon if it be that. I prayed if it be thy will, because he had not told me his will, but he told me I call you to the ministry, and I didn't know which one, so I could pray that. Now, when it was the thing where he told me to come here, I wouldn't pray if it be thy will, because I know what his will is, and I can pray and say, Father, I commit myself, and I dedicate myself to go to West Palm Beach and to pastor that church and to be there what you say and to teach the word of God in a way that's easy understood so any believer can incorporate in their life. I would do that until you tell me something different. That's all my life. I'll do it then, Lord. Amen. I had his word. I had his will. I had no doubt. I packed up boldly. I rented a U-Haul. Well, what if it's God? What if you miss it? Wasn't no missing it. I knew that I knew in my heart. God had revealed it to me. I heard a word from God. There was no doubt. There was no hesitancy, no worry about boldness. And the thing about it is once you commit to it, there's no fear. My God loves me, and he directed me, and love casted off all fear. And I went on. That's the way we need to live. Do you know that you know it's God's will to heal you? Or is your heart condemning you because God told you to eat a certain way and you intentionally won't do it? Do you know it's God's will that you be blessed, highly favored, and empowered to prosper, but you know you still spend more money than you make and you don't have any idea of how much is going in or going out? Because now that you have that knowledge, your heart will condemn you if you don't walk in the light of the revelation you have. Because people that walk in darkness stumble and trip and fall. That's why God said, walk in the light as I'm in the light. Because if you walk in the darkness concerning your health, Satan's got a trap in the darkness you're about to fall into. Cancer, some other type of problem, Alzheimer's, dementia, he's got a trap set for you. Because don't think the devil don't have traps out there for your health and for your wealth and for your marriage and for everything else. He got a trap. That's why you need to not walk in the darkness following blind people, because the blind lead the blind and they all fall into the ditch. Walk in the light as he's in the light. If the light is to manage your money so you don't spend more than you make and live on a budget, get in the light. If the light is to eat those things God created to be received as food, get in the light. If the light is to walk or treat other people with love, not by how you feel and what they're doing, all this kind of stuff, but you just love them, get in the light. Because your heart will condemn you if the light is shown to you and you decide to stay in darkness anyway, when you go to God who is all light. And you try and step out of your darkness into the light, your eyes are going to hurt and it's going to hinder your faith, because you're going to be like, I'll just shrink back to the shadows because I'm not worthy. You can't come unworthily and boldly at the same time. That's two different manners of approach. But you must come boldly with confidence through the throne of grace to receive grace to help in your time of need when you're praying. Only a clean heart will be primed with faith, ready to receive and assured of receiving from God. Read that again. Only a clean heart will be primed with faith, ready to receive and assured of receiving from God. It's a powerful thing to have a clean heart. With it, you can come boldly and confidently to the throne of grace and receive your prayers consistently answered from God. Let's close in summary. Part one of our series, Praying with Power, is understanding the power of a clean heart when you approach God. A heart does not condemn you. You have to protect your heart, your conscience. You have to guard it consistently because it determines your course in life. A person with a clean heart has confidence to approach the throne of grace because his heart's not condemning. The power of a clean heart brings power to your prayer life. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the word today, and we thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you move on every person here today, Lord. If there's anybody who's never received you, Father, I thank you that you're